Hey guys, welcome back to Conversations with Moon Body Soul. Today I have a wonderful friend on the podcast. Her name is Aniela. I met her through one of my best friends, Karen, who you guys know if you listen to the podcast. And I helped her hold a mother's blessing ceremony, and that's where I met Aniela. And we became fast friends and talked for like hours after the ceremony. And I'm so excited to bring some of those conversations onto the podcast. So welcome, Aniela.
Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm so excited to have you on because I feel like we have a lot in common. We are kindred spirits. And I feel like one of the things we have in common is you do a lot of stuff. You have a lot of interests and passions, and I absolutely love that. So I don't even know where to start, really. I just want to dive in. Like, let's talk about what you do and what you love and what your passions are.
Yes, I definitely felt such a kindred spirit with you in terms of I've always had so many passions, and I continue to always have so many ideas. And in fact, when I don't have those ideas constantly coming in, I feel a little off almost, like, what's going on? Because that's kind of like my compass in terms of connection with myself, because I feel like I've always been such a creative, and it's such a part of who I am in this life. But yeah, I started when I was little. I did like dance and painting, and I mean, pretty much any art form, like photography, theater, and all of that. And now I'm doing more design and making clothes, and that part, that's how I've been expressing myself. And then I want to do natural dyeing too, which is, you're such an inspiration for that. And yeah, but always creating, always creating.
Yeah, I want to interrupt and just say your clothes are so beautiful. So I definitely want to talk about that, if that's a good segue. How did you get into it? Or do you sew yourself? Like, how do you design them? I just think they're super gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, that's actually, I was never really taught how to sew, but both my grandmothers are seamstresses. And they were, I mean, one of my grandmothers, that was her main job in Cuba. She would make these beautiful clothing for people, like people, these beautiful dresses and all of that. And I would watch her sew, but she never really taught me. But then about 4 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, my mom gifted me a sewing machine for my birthday. And it was just sitting there for a while, for about a year. And then I said, all right, I was doing a lot of Kundalini at the time. I had just started doing a lot of Kundalini every single day. And something just started to shift in me in the sense that it sounds funny to say, but I started to connect to my grandmother and to her energy. And I started to just ask her to help me sew. And then I just would wake up and I'd sit in the sewing machine and I'd have these ideas. And I get a lot of inspiration from like period pieces, like historical, watch a lot of British television, no, but like historical TV and like French cinema and stuff. And so I was getting all these, I was like, okay, I wonder if I can make that. And I would sit in the sewing machine and I would buy the fabric and I'd experiment. And then I started just creating things, and I just got better with time. Every single day I would just sit in the sewing machine and make stuff and then wear it, and then people would compliment me, so it would make me more confident in it. And I just kept creating. And then from there I started just taking photographs of myself, and that was also part of the creative process for me, to see the photos, to set things up in a way where I felt almost like Venusian, and I could wear the clothing and make them beautiful because they were on me. And I would just picture how they would look on other people and just think, okay, this is how I want it to feel. I want it to feel like sensual and elegant, and and simple also, so I could wear it every day and all of this. And it was a whole like project to also, through taking photographs of myself in my own creations, then I started to be more confident in myself, in my creating.
I love that. I love that there are so many facets to it as a project. I feel the same way with all of the things I do, but adding the photography or the capturing of it is like a whole nother level. So I love that that's something that you really connected with. But your pieces are gorgeous, and they, to me, look like beautiful canvases that I want to cover in flowers and natural dye. And I would love for you to come visit and we can play before my garden goes away.
Yes, I'd love to. That's definitely a vision that I have, is to, for my pieces to be like canvases for natural dyeing and prints.
Yeah, but you're right now over in Bali. So what are you doing over there?
I am. Well, I don't really know. It's just like all the time, I just kind of like make choices and then I show up for them. I just kind of follow my intuition in a way, even when it's really scary. It's scary in the sense that it's, I had to change a lot of things to like show up bigger for myself. And but I'm here because my partner has a place here in Uluwatu. But aside from that, when I really sat with the choice, I said, well, I've always wanted to visit Bali, and it's so, it reminds me of that tropical, colorful life that I grew up in Cuba. And it's kind of not similar, but it is an island. And so it, I feel like creatively, it's bringing something out of me. And that's such a part of like travel and all of that. It's such a part of being a creative for me. It gives me a lot of inspiration, both in my writings, like when I write poetry or when I write, or just in my being, I feel more expansive, and I love cultures and learning about history. And there's such an aspect of ceremony here too, that I really love. And everybody smiles at you, so it's really sweet.
It is such a magical place. That's one of the first places I think it maybe is the first place I solo traveled to go assist at a retreat. And yeah, I mean, the colors, the culture, they have such a reverence for gratitude and practicing gratitude. I loved it so much. It really woke up something in me. I think that's kind of what woke up my like desire to create. And I think I started like a jewelry line right after leaving there for like a hot second of pieces that I found in Bali. And then that was right around the time I was starting Moon Body Soul. I hadn't really launched it yet, but I brought some bath salts over there to like take photos of. So yeah, I love Bali. I'm so happy that you're there and that you took the leap to go, because it's such a special place.
It feels really magical here. I mean, I got here and I went to some of the other islands for a wedding, and that was really, really wonderful. And now that I've landed back in the space that I'm going to be in for a while, I feel all this resurgence of creativity, because it's like I needed to ground in order to connect with it. And I'm just now connecting with it and like want to get in the flow of things here and see what's gonna happen.
So I know when you are in Ojai, you're leading in-person Kundalini yoga, correct?
Yes.
So how does that look now that you're over there? Are you offering virtual, or what are you doing in terms of your Kundalini?
So I'm doing a 40-day immersion. It's I call it creative mastery for these. It's like structured, the way I structured it, it's like 40 days. It could be a 40-day practice, or it could be like a 90-day practice, or 120 days. So that's what I'm offering now. It's like 40 days of doing the same meditation every single day. And then I do on Fridays a workshop and lecture and check-in kind of thing. And the idea is to do the same meditation and also work with a vision, so with an element of writing, because I found that to be really powerful, a really powerful combination. Like the technology of Kundalini Yoga, which is so powerful in itself and transformative, and then adding, having a clear vision of how you want to feel by in that month or after those 40 days, or what you are willing to transform in that time.
Can you tell us a little bit more, just the basics of what Kundalini is? Because I know people have probably heard that word, but maybe they don't really know exactly mm-hmm. what that is and what it really means to you as well.
Kundalini yoga is, it's the yoga of awareness. And to me, I've also heard it described as the yoga of the infinite creative potential of a person. So it's what the Kundalini does, it starts to, when it rises up, it starts to awaken those hidden parts of ourselves that, or myself, or those hidden parts that may have been sleeping in a way. And that to me is creative energy. It's energy that we can use to create our lives the way that we desire them to be. Create more, if we're creatives, it enhances that parts of ourselves. I mean, we're all creatives, but it, like, especially if your mission in this life is to create like art, and that's your offering, and that's what being of service is to you, that enhances that. So basically, to me, it feels like when I started to awaken those parts of myself, it was just me, who I am in this life, in this mission, in my destiny, started to awaken. And when I feel a little bit off or I feel disconnected, I have a practice that I can go back to. And it also works with the nervous system. Like, it balances the nervous system very quickly, the adrenal system. It's also known as a householder's yoga, because you can really shift your frequency or how you feel in 3 minutes, 11 minutes, 7 minutes, however long you want. You have a time to practice. So there's really no excuse not to do it, in a way. And that's how it was that's how it's designed. It's like you can do 3 minutes, you can do a minute and a half, and you still can feel a shift in yourself. And that to me was something that I really, really could connect with, that I didn't have to. And that's why I was able to build a consistent practice with it. It's the yoga that I've stuck with the longest. I mean, I've been practicing yoga since I was 15 years old, all different forms. The Kundalini to me felt like the one that was the most, that created the biggest shift in myself. And yeah. And of course, just like anything, I feel like whatever shows up in our lives, the timing of it is always perfect. For me, I kept hearing about Kundalini. I was sort of like dabbing my feet in it. I was like, okay, I'll take one class and maybe I'll do that. And maybe I'll do this Kriya for a moment. But I didn't, for a while, I wasn't really like committed. But when I committed to a practice and to showing up for myself and showing up, and even when I was uncomfortable, then that's when things started to really shift. And then I could really feel like, oh, okay, this is why people really love it. This is why people stick with it, and why it's powerful.
That is a really beautiful practice that I haven't dove into myself too much. I feel like I have tried a lot of different styles of yoga as well, but Kundalini is one that I haven't explored. I think when I moved to LA, I maybe did like one class, and I'm having trouble even remembering what it was like, but I just remember that there is a lot of like white clothing. Is that a part of it?
Yeah, white clothes. Well, no, I feel like you wear what you want to wear, what you feel comfortable in. The idea behind the white clothing is that white is the, it encompasses all colors. It's also the color of purity. And the idea is to gain energy. I like to look at it as, you know, what's giving me energy and what's taking my energy. So it's like, it's whatever you feel good in. And if wearing white and natural fabrics and all of that makes you feel good and it enhances your energy, then that's what it's about. That's why. But I don't know. I feel like I kind of just go with what feels good to me. And usually when I wear white or more light colors, I do feel lighter in a way.
I agree, and I feel like when I moved to LA from the Midwest, I actually that's when I started wearing dark colors and black, and like I felt like I was almost needing to protect my energy, and my whole wardrobe turned black. Like when I do laundry, I'm looking for a particular piece, it's so hard because everything is black. And I'd slowly started to invite in more whites and feeling just so light and yeah, almost more energized. I can't describe it, but even this week, I've been trying to wear these white cotton pants that are so comfy, but I am a magnet. I dumped coffee on it the first day, just like a tiny bit. So I washed them. And then the next day, a whole iced latte dumped all over the backside of them. Like I'm just a magnet when I'm wearing white, but I love it so much and I'm trying to incorporate it into my life more.
Oh, yeah. I know the feeling because I lived in New York for 10 years and I feel like a lot of my clothing was black or dark colors. And it does have the sense of like protection. And yeah, I feel really protected when I wear black, which is maybe why in cities, there's a lot of black clothing and all of that.
Yeah, it feels very protecting and also almost like not standing out as much because, yeah, so many people are in darker colors that you just kind of can blend in, which can feel
You can
safer
blend
to
in.
me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting too because I feel like when I wear white, I feel more, and yes, I feel lighter and also more sovereign in a way. Like I have to own it. I have to own what I'm that I'm wearing this that I'm wearing white, that maybe I am gonna stand out. And that's another thing with Kundalini is that one of the things that drew me to it also was because I kept seeing how the people that practice Kundalini would be like, wow, they always look like they're glowing or they have this like extra glow and they look so radiant and like, what are they doing? What's going on? And I realized that after practicing that it's because I just started to feel better in myself and just feeling more confident in me and what I was creating and my in every aspect. So it does create this sort of like this sovereignty and just owning who you are and why you're on this earth.
Well, I think radiant is a very good way to describe your energy. Like, I do feel like it just radiates off of you. I would love to know more. Like, what does the practice look like? Is it more asana and movement, or is it chanting? Is there, you know, work with the chakras? Like, what does it look like?
Well, there's breath, there's movement, there's chanting. Oh, so mantra and those th and I said breath already, yeah. Breath, movement, and mantra. And so that's all working together to balance the energetic centers of the chakras and also balance the nervous system. And so you're working a lot of different things at once. In a Kundalini class, you're balancing the nervous system, breathing deeper than most of us are used to breathing in a day. So the breath is adding prana and life force to life energy into you. And the more breath we have, the more energy and capacity we have to hold our, to expand, basically, to hold our prosperity, to hold all the things that show up in our lives. So we're balancing the energetic centers. And also in Kundalini Yoga, there are the 10 bodies. So it's not just our physical body that's being worked, but also our energetic body or our aura, the electromagnetic field. And so through the breath and the movement and the mantras, then we're working the energetic centers and balancing the electromagnetic field. And the electromagnetic field is our home. It's the home that we walk around in. It's not just we have the physical home, but also the energetic home that also needs to be cleaned, just like we brush our teeth and like take a shower. I think that we forget that, and this is also something that I like to remind myself of, because it can be easy to forget. It's like, oh yeah, I have this field of energy around me that is also my home, and I have to keep it clean. The aura is like, it's about 8 feet in every direction. And when we feel insecure, we have fear, it starts to shrink. And we can feel it in our body. I know when I feel insecure, it's like I feel small, like I feel like I'm shrinking. But with the breath and the movement, and this can happen in different ways, not just in Kundalini. Like when you take a deep breath, you feel more expansive. You just feel like, oh, okay. You start to relax and expand. And so you just feel like energetically you start to feel bigger. And so that's what basically is happening in a class or even within 3 minutes, you could do that. 3 minutes of breath, of intentional practice. You start to like to move all of that.
I want to do this like right now. I'm just hearing you talk. I'm like, let's do it.
I know, right? Let's do it.
Hearing you talk about though feeling yourself be expansive, I have one point of reference for that. Whenever I'm leading meditations, without fail, I instantly drop in and I feel like my body is way bigger than it is. Like my eyes are shut. I'm guiding a meditation. The moment I drop in, like, I feel huge. It's this really, like, amazing feeling that I don't get any other time, only when I'm guiding a meditation. And, I mean, I feel so, like, happy when I feel that feeling. It's instantly just like, ah, there it is. I'm, like, this larger being. That's my only point of reference to that.
I feel the same. I love that feeling of expansion. And that's what I've liked to imagine. Like in the mornings after my practice, I like to imagine, or just using the practice to feel that sense of expansion, most like the ocean or the universe. It's expansive. And how, when I feel the energy start to expand, then I also like to imagine where it's going. And you don't really, it's not really specific. It's just, it can reach people because we're very powerful and energy is very powerful and it can reach in every direction. And that's what I like to imagine after my practice. And that's what it makes me feel good. Cause just whoever it's going to reach. And it's so interesting because I mentioned this to a friend of mine and he He said, okay, so you're doing this in the morning and you're sending out your energy to go to expand. What if you then, after it expands and you bring it out there, then you bring it back into yourself so that you're also, so that to remember that it starts from you. And in that moment, I really needed to hear that because I felt like so much of the energy was like going out, and I really love to expand. And then I was almost like I was forgetting that it was coming from me, that my heart, my being, it was just, I needed to bring it back to then go out again. And now I've incorporated that into my practice too.
I'm not sure if this is similar, but I find when I'm holding moon circles or I'm leading in some way, guiding meditation, in the moment, like I said, it feels so good. I feel huge. But then afterwards, especially after the circle is closed or people have left, I usually get a headache very intensely. It's almost like I've expended too much, and I've really tried to practice grounding, especially at the end of a practice, and like, yeah, bringing it back because it almost feels like it was every new moon circle when I was holding them in person. At the end of every single one, I would get a headache, like without fail. So I've tried doing like more grounding. Is there anything that you do, or is it more of like an intention that you're setting?
It's more of an intention or something I like to just feel or imagine. It's when I feel like my energy is too far out there, or when I start to expand, then it also needs to ground. Sometimes what helps me is that I actually picture the energy going down into the earth, like down all the way down into the center of the earth, and then it comes back up and out over the top of the head, and it goes up and out there, and then it comes back in, and then I bring it back down, and that feels really good sometimes, just to ground myself. Or I just bring it, like I physically move my hands out and then bring them back in to myself. So I'm like calling in the energy, whatever is out there, because you gave what you needed to give and it's out of your control. It's like, okay, you show up for your mission, you show up for the moment, and then you bring it back in so that you can gain the energy to have. So the more energy we have, the more energy we have to give.
I really like that. I'm going to try that with the hands as well. But it sounds like a lot
With
of
the
your
hands.
practice is visualization. Is that something that comes really easy to you, or did it always come easy to you?
Not really. Not really. It's something that I've practiced. I feel like for a long time, I'm very easily distracted all the time. So easily distracted. I can get lost in, I wouldn't say lost, but I kind of like go into my thoughts and I create the story and I love people watching. It's like I have a very this romanticism of life that I really love about myself. And at the same time, I've had to really learn, and I continue to find a way to both be in that romanticism and also make it really almost grounded and practical. Practical, I don't even like that word, but no, like bring it to something that was more tangible. And so, like writing down a vision or seeing it on paper, allowing myself to both go into the imagination and also bring it into something tangible that I can believe to be true, that I can believe that what I've written down, I can always recreate and change it, but I've written it down and it's tangible and it's real. that's something I never really used to do. So I didn't really, there wasn't really, like, my goals weren't clear. I didn't really have a vision, all of that. Like, and yes, I was receiving life and going about life, but for the most part, feeling quite unhappy because I wasn't really fulfilled. I wasn't really asking for what I want, allowing myself to receive it, even if it did show up. So I think there's something to writing down the vision, knowing that you can always recreate it, and coming from a place of, well, I'm already enough. I have everything I need. And yet also, what do I want to create in this life, and what feels really good to me? Because that's the compass of, like, okay, if that's calling me and that makes me feel more expansive, then it must be for a reason, and I'm going to follow that. And then how do I want it to look like? How do I want to feel in it? And using the imagination as a tool for expansion. And knowing that it's like, you are already enough. And also, there's always more that can be created.
That's really powerful. I really connect with you saying, though, like, I can change it, because it does feel final if you write it down and put it, like, on paper, especially. It feels so final, but you're right. Like, you have the choice and the power if you want to make that change. I think that's a really good point. I really connect with that. But I find that visualization and trying to, like, feel it in the body is something that has helped me tremendously through meditation or through manifesting and getting more clear on what you want. Whenever I talk to people about this, I feel like it comes up of, like, most people, they don't feel like they have what they want because they don't really know what they want. Like, they're not clear on it. So it sounds like your practices really help you get more clear. And I think that that's a really, really valuable thing that most people don't even think about.
Yeah, I feel like the combination of having a practice that, and I mean, it can be Kundalini, it can be taking a walk in the morning, something that is consistent, that is, to me, is like just showing up for yourself, or showing up for myself, and saying, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. That starts to give me the clarity and more confidence in who I am. And so it's like, it also starts to, like, it starts to really clear away what isn't me anymore, if that makes sense. Like, sometimes we have these identities that are not really serving anymore. That's not really you, because we're constantly changing. And if I know the person I thought I was, like, even a year ago, I feel different than that person. And if I want to, sometimes we need to show up differently for different things, and life is asking us usually to show up bigger. And so with a certain clarity and and knowing what you want, I found that the reason I'm afraid sometimes to write down what I want is because I feel like that comes with a certain responsibility. And so the more I assure myself that's like, okay, I'm confident that I can show up for this mission, or for this, if this is what I want, it's going to require a different version of me. And it's like, most of the time we're just afraid of the responsibility of getting, it's like, when you get what you want, you're going to get what you want. It's just, can you hold it? And to me, I mean, that's where having a healthy nervous system comes into, because then you can receive it. You're not, once you receive the thing that you want, it's like, whether it's the relationship or more money or the career that you want, whatever it is, like more opportunities. It's like how can your nervous system receive it? And can you sustain it? That's where, to me, where the key is in really allowing what we want to come into our lives. Because yeah, I can write down many things that I want, and I know that I'm going to get them. I know that whatever I write, or even if I change my mind the next day, I'm like, okay, I can clarify it. I'm like, okay, and I know it's going to come in whatever way. It's just, then I have to prepare myself to receive it. It's like, okay, take a deep breath. It's going to come. And I have to prepare myself, my nervous system, and that way I can actually receive it.
Something that you said that I want to expand on too, this idea of like changing and how you're not the same person that you were a year ago. I feel like that's something that growing up, especially, I was always asked, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it sounded like once you figure that out, like, that's what you're going to do. And then you're like done. And that is not how life has been like for me. I feel like I've worn many, many hats, and I still don't even know if I'm where I want to be. I don't think it's as easy as I was told, or what society kind of conditions us to think, that like, oh, you're just this one thing too. You don't even, like, we attach our identities to what we're doing. And we're so much more than that. But this idea of stepping in to something new and taking on those responsibilities and leaving behind who you were is something that I feel like, since being in my 30s now, that I'm realizing, like, oh, okay, this is something like I have to do away with. I have to let go of some things, and that can be really challenging. But I feel like that's something I didn't understand until I got into my 30s, because it seemed like, for me at least, growing up, everything was kind of scheduled out. You do this, you do this, you go to school, then you go to university, then you do this. And now that it's like, okay, whatever you want to do, the world's your oyster. I'm realizing how much responsibility that we have, and the power that we have to create the lives that we want, which is fascinating to hear the way that you see it and the way that you call stuff in. But yeah, I just wanted to expand on that, of like making changes and stepping into those new roles for ourselves.
Yeah, it's such a change is so can be so scary too, because we hold on to those ideas of who we think we are, or what society wants us to be, or yeah, for so long. I mean, for so long, I was like kind of almost jealous of people who just seemed to know exactly what they wanted, and be like, okay, I'm gonna be a trumpet player, and that's what they like, really stuck with that, and I had to really realize that that's just maybe not me. Like I really had to accept in myself that, and I continued to do so, like when I fall into that trap of, all right, what is my purpose? I have to stick to my purpose. Like, let me focus. And yes, there's definitely power in that, in like that commitment. And that can also look many different ways, not just the way that I thought it needed to look, and that I could. It's about embracing all the different aspects of myself, and that all those aspects just add to each other, as opposed to fighting all those different aspects of saying, okay, I got to choose one. I got to be one thing. Like, no, I feel like we live in a time now where we have the abilities and the resources to create those identities and create whatever we want, and bring all those different elements together and create the jobs or the careers or the whatever we want, and just use all those different aspects. And I'm really learning how to embrace all of that in myself. Say, all right, I can use my acting. I went to school for acting, and there were so many wonderful tools there and techniques. It's like I can bring that into the work I'm doing now, and you know, like elements of that, and I can bring all sorts of things in, and dance and movement and singing, and all these aspects of myself don't have to be separate, and they all add to each other, and it creates this ability to embrace change, because I know no matter what, it's gonna be okay. I didn't have to. There's no structure. There's no structure. I'm making the structure.
Yep. Change is literally the only constant. That was like one of the first. That was like one of those first words of wisdom that like I so connected with. Like, change is the only thing we can rely on. Like, everything's gonna change. I think it's beautiful how you don't put yourself in a box, though, and you're embracing this multifaceted way of being out in the world. I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely also a challenge, because I often forget, too. I feel like the agenda that is, there's definitely still that voice in my head that's like, okay, focus, do something, like choose something, especially in the time where I've learned that I need a lot of time to create. Like, I like to get, part of my creation process is like getting lost in my imagination and allowing my imagination to go places, and really enjoying the romanticism of life. That's where a lot of my creation comes in. So I really have to, that voice that comes in that's like, what are you doing? You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. I don't know, get a job. You know, whatever the voice is like, no, but this is part of my work. And I just have to say, like, no, I'm choosing to do this, and this feels good to me, and I need to, this is where I create from, and this is my mission and part of it, and really embracing that as part of my work, as part of that structure.
Yeah, I think that that's something that people don't usually, or I personally don't add into the process. It's like time to daydream, time to explore, time to just, you know, be for a little bit instead of do. Important part of the process. If so this creative mastery that you're doing, has it already started?
It did start on the 14th, on August 14th, but because it's the daily meditation is pre-recorded, and I just, because it's a daily meditation that you have with you to follow, and then this Friday is it's going to be the first workshop and lecture, so pretty much can join this week or next week. It doesn't really, as long as it's structured for 40 days, like you can do your own count of 40 days. And then there's the accountability factor too, and the check-ins and all of that, which I do. And having an accountability partner is really helpful. But you can kind of like structure it the way that you want. So yes, it did start. At the same time, I'm going to do like these 40 days. It's also good to feel like the group energy too, because that's really helpful. Even if we're in different places, it's still like we're in it together, and we're helping each other with our visions and really clarifying what we want. And that's really, really helpful, having that accountability and that support. So I'm going to do the 40 days, this first 40 days working with the radiance meditation, which is for radiance and like enhancing It's called enhancing magnetic radiance, that kriya or that meditation. So we're doing that every morning. And then the following 40 days, doing a prosperity meditation. And then after that, probably going to go deeper into prosperity, the prosperity teachings and stuff. And like working with a blueprint and like creating the blueprint for what you want. And really believing that you can create it.
That's beautiful. Is this the only type of virtual offering that you're doing while you're over there? Or is there other like virtual classes or anything else you're doing from afar?
Yeah, so I also have a class on Thursday mornings. Well, Thursday mornings, evenings, you know, time.
Yeah, Thursday
but,
evening.
Where depending on where you are in your
is it Thursday morning Bali
world.
Time? So
it's Thursday morning Bali time. So
Wednesday like, evening West Coast California time.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Wait, is that correct? Yes.
Wait,
you're a day ahead.
I'm a day ahead. I'm still figuring this out. But
yeah,
yes,
when we scheduled
ahead,
this
so
podcast, I was like, wait, I told you Tuesday, but that's Wednesday for you.
Oh my gosh, yes. So yes, Thursday morning for me, because it used to be Thursday when I was in Ojai, it was Thursday morning. So now it's like Thursday mornings for me would be Wednesday evenings.
Yes.
In America, the West Coast, or beyond. But anyway, yeah, it's I need to change that on my site, I guess, or like have the different times. But basically, yes, I have a class once a week and it's online. And I'm also going to do a membership portal on my site where I'm going to put some kriyas, some just like easy to access meditations that are like 3 minutes, 1 minute, 11 minutes, whatever time you have to do.
Awesome. And then so your website, I'll have that in the show notes if you guys want to check it out and see her offerings, but also your clothing. So while you're over there, are you still able to, is your clothing still being shipped out or where can people see it?
Yes. So my clothes, I do a pre-order because they're all made to order. So, but yes, my clothes are still, they're on the website, so they're available. It's just, it would be a pre-order kind of thing.
Amazing.
And I'm doing some new designs also that are coming up soon. Some new things I want to do. And so I'm working on that now and I'm excited for it because it feels really expansive for me to have support in it too. So I've been doing it on my own for so long. But now it feels good to allow the support of other people.
So cool. So the way I like to kind of wrap things up, I do two things. I like to do rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit more. So these are like top of your head answers, not very deep. What is your favorite season?
Fall.
Hard same. I'm realizing that now. I thought it was summer, but now that I'm like over summer, I'm like, okay, bring on fall. I love fall.
Fall. Yeah.
Are you late to bed or early to rise?
Both. Depends on my mood.
Do you dream when you sleep?
Yes. A lot.
Do you work with those dreams? I'm just curious now. I want to dive into dreams.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I like to ask for answers in my dreams sometimes if I'm just need. It's just fun. It's fun. Sometimes I go to bed, I'm like, talk to me, or I'll ask my grandmother, or I'll ask something, you know, like guides or to give me, to show up in my dreams, and or sometimes they just show up anyway and give me an answer of some sort. Now, whether or not I listen to it is different. It's a different thing. But oh, there's always an answer. Yeah.
Same. I think dreams are super powerful. It is something that I love working with. And a lot of my ideas will like be clarified in the dream, like a word or a name for something like just clicks. Love dreams. Okay, back to the rapid fire.
Okay.
is your love language?
Words of affection and touch are my main two. I
is
think
that
those are my
how you
my
like
biggest.
To give love or receive love?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that's how I like to receive love. And also touch is a way I like to give love. Yeah. I feel like the minute there's an element of touch, even if just placing my hand on someone's shoulder or a hug, like that to me is, it just makes it like, oh, okay, we're here. I feel you.
But, same. Super
yeah.
Grounding.
So grounding, yes.
Are you a tea or a coffee person?
Ooh, coffee, all the way.
Ooh, yes. Yes, girl.
Coffee. No question about it. I'm Cuban. But not just because I'm Cuban, but also because I love coffee.
Amazing.
I grew up with it. My grandmother used to wake me up with a little cup of coffee right in my face. Like, cafecito.
How old were you?
Oh my God. I think I was like 12.
Oh my God.
11? Yeah. And my grandmother, she would make the coffee in the morning and then she'd come with a little espresso of cafecito. And then she'd sit on the bed next to me. I was sleeping and then I'd wake up. She's like, cafecito?
I would pay someone to do that for
I'm
me.
I'm like, wait, one second.
What an amazing way to wake
I'm
up.
I'm still waking up. So there's an element of home. About coffee. And care and like comfort.
That's awesome. What is the I maybe know this answer, but what is your favorite way to move your body?
Dancing and yoga. Well, actually, I have a lot of ways of moving my body. I love walking too. Going on long walks.
What do you like to do on a rainy day?
Contemplate life.
What do you like to do on a sunny day?
Contemplate life. No, I don't know. on a sunny day, I feel like sunny days sometimes make me feel like I need to do something with my life. And then I'm like, and rainy days make me feel like, oh, this feels more like me. I can just be. Whereas sunny days, I feel like I always have to be doing something out. Like everybody's having a better time than me. Because I just want to be home and write or create and be in like my own little world. But yeah, on a sunny day, beach.
Awesome. Beach. Yesterday was the first like cloudy day where it was gonna maybe sprinkle and rain here, and I was so excited. It never happens in the summer. So I live up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it will be rainy from like November to March, and then it does not rain again until November. And so yesterday the clouds came. I woke up, I was so excited. I like moved my cushions off the deck and I couldn't wait. And it lasted 10 minutes, maybe like a light sprinkle. And then it was sunny and I was like, now I have to work and like do stuff. I have to be active because it's sunny out. If you could move to another country, where would you want to live?
That's funny because I am in another country.
Yeah.
I just moved. Well, right now I'm in Bali, and that's fun. So I did move to another country. I'm here for 3 months.
Oh, I didn't know it was so long. Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm here for 3 months, and I also have always had this romantic vision of Europe. I love Europe a lot. Yeah, I guess anywhere with water and the beach. And beautiful places. Not one in particular right now. I guess I hear Bali is where I am now.
Great. It's perfect there.
Yeah.
Last rapid question. What is your favorite act of quote unquote self-care? Because it can really be, that word is definitely widely overused, but what's your favorite way to take care of yourself?
I love this question. I was just thinking about this morning, actually. I think taking the time to do anything that I love. So really connecting with the things that I love and allowing myself to really do it without any distraction. Say, okay, if what I love right now, if I want to cook this recipe, and that's would make me feel really good, and I'll do that. If I just want to sit and lay down and do nothing, then that to me is a form of love, just allowing myself to be and not judge it or think that I need to be somewhere else or be someone else, doing things I love.
I love that answer. That is a great way to self-care. The very last thing that I like to do to wrap up the podcast is I bring a crystal into the space for the person that I'm talking to and what reminds me of them. And with you, it's like I don't know you very well. So I was sitting with this for a few days, being like, what is her crystal? And then I started thinking of like Kundalini energy. And I remembered I have this serpentine. So serpentine is when peridot or green opal gets like pressurized and it turns it into this like green rock, but it's said to hold like serpent energy, so it reminded me of the Kundalini snake energy, and it's said to like move energy through the body as well. That was the one I chose. I don't know if you connect to it.
Beautiful.
Have you
It looks
ever?
like a like an egg.
Yeah, this
I've
one
never seen that.
does. I was quite frustrated with myself because I know I have a sphere of it somewhere in my collection. I don't think I got rid of it, but I can't find it anywhere. But I do have this little baby. I'll share a photo of it
Hey.
on social media so
Yes,
people can
please.
see it. But have you ever worked with this stone?
No. Serpentine?
Yes, serpentine.
Serpentine. Oh, I'll have to find one
I
here
haven't touched this in a while.
and
My
see if it.
friend Alice brought me this back from Peru. I think there's a lot of serpentine in Peru, but she brought me this back from Peru, and it just, yeah, it's a really special
Oh,
and
beautiful.
like moving, and it's said to be a great stone for people that work with other people on an emotional level, like doing therapy or yoga or any sort of like therapeutic work. It's said to be a good stone. So this is what I brought into the room for you.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, because I mean, I do. I also do Reiki and all that
Oh my God, we didn't even
stuff.
touch
Like,
on all
and
the things you do.
no, like Reiki, and I mean, I've done so many different things and modalities, and that's what I mean. It's like sometimes those through changes of life and the things that I've done, it's like I want to incorporate all the things into what I'm doing now. And in a way, in a lot of ways, I do. Like, you just, when you work with it, being in service or like working with other people, it's like all these tools to just support each other. And sometimes I even forget that I do Reiki or that it's something, because to me, it's like something just so, it's the energy of love. And the energy of love is expressed in many different ways. And I love the Reiki practice too. It's such a beautiful, beautiful way of exchanging energy, of giving energy, of allowing the energy to come through you.
Yes. Oh, I'm so happy we got to sit down and share and talk and hear your views on creativity and calling things in. This was a really eye-opening and like mind-opening talk for me just to have and listen to you. You're just very inspiring. So thank you for taking the time out of your morning in beautiful Bali to talk with us. I'll put
Thank
all of
you.
your information in the show notes if you guys want to connect with Daniela. And yeah, when you come back in 3 months, let's get together.
Yes, please.
I would love that.
And you're
Thank
such an
you.
inspiration to me too. I love all your creations and everything that you share.
You're so
Thank you.
sweet. Karen was right. She was like, you guys are going to be best friends. I was like, yep.
Yes, she was. She told me that from the beginning. She's like, you have to meet her.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Conversations with Moon Body Soul. Be sure to follow if you don't want to miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, leave a review and a rating. And if you want to email over any special guests or topic suggestions, email hello@moonbodysoul.com.